Welcome to the Authority of Love. My name is Greg Williams, and thanks for joining us again on this broadcast and inviting your friends and family and loved ones to do so. I hope that that's been an encouragement, an inspiration, a challenge, and whatever that may be, that the Lord is using it in your life to help you with a closer walk with Him. I want to thank my co-host, Adia Wushner, for another wonderful Wednesdays for Women yesterday. Also on Tuesday, we really hit the target in our devotional message about how we are to grow in our knowledge of, our love for, and our relationship with God our Father in Christ and the Holy Spirit. The next best thing to do to make this happen is to ask. If you've asked, then be sure that you are seeking. If you've done both, then knock. And keep on asking, seeking, and knocking until you've received what God wants you to have. His Holy Spirit, and that intimate knowledge of who He is, as well as receiving and living in His love in a relationship that you could have in no other way than in Christ. And then you can share Him with others. Now, if you missed that message, or either one of those or any others, you can go to loveandlordship.com, loveandlordship.com, and you'll find videos, podcasts, and articles, all of these and many others. And we'd love to know what you think about them. So contact us at loveandlordship@gmail.com. loveandlordship@gmail.com. Appreciate those who have done that. Thank you for your comments, your messages, for sharing it with others. Appreciate that. We just want to make sure that people are getting the message of God's word. And I pray that it is done in truth and with grace. Now, I failed to mention that Monday's message set the tone. But making sure that we are not slackers by making sure that we're not slackers in any way spiritually, that we never slack off or give up. As I did mention earlier in the intro, we are to be asking, seeking, and knocking without letting up, because we know that God gives us good things. Holy Spirit, number one, as the greatest of gifts in Christ. And that is what He wants us to learn, to not just to ask for, but to know in our hearts that it is the greatest of gifts and can only be found in Christ and our enduring or abiding in Him as we ask, seek, and knock. So just what is God getting at in His word with all of this? Well, Jesus told us that if we saw and knew Him, then we knew the Father. What was Jesus' first recorded words to His disciples? Well, wouldn't that be exactly what God desired for us as we abide in Christ, endure the Father's pruning and cleansing, and persistently ask, seek, and knock of Him? Jesus didn't come to simply save us. He saved us so that we could and would follow Him. This is what the Father is after, as we see it modeled in Christ with His disciples and for us as His present-day disciples. Chambers begins with the title that gets straight to the point, Getting There, or Consecrated to Him. Again, if you're following along, we're on June the 13th, following along in the book or online at myutmost.org. Now, in the devotional book, the title is Getting There. So just what are we getting to? Where are we arriving? What's the goal or destination? Well, the title in the book leaves us hanging a bit, but online that title is even more poignant as to what our goal, our true goal, is to be, consecrated to Him. That's what we're getting at. This is our purpose for living, but we can never find it until we are saved in Christ and continually being sanctified, made holy, set apart in Him through His Spirit and His Word. Are you there yet? Are you fully consecrated, set apart, or sanctified for His purpose and will in and through you? Well, I'll answer that for myself and ultimately for you. No. Not because we're not saved, but because it is a lifelong pursuit in Christ that we will only know when we see Him face to face. Check out 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 13. Ultimately lived out in love. But that no answer does not change what He has called us for and is setting us apart for, to be His, to walk after Him, to conform to the image of Christ. Chambers begins with the following phrase to introduce us to this ultimate goal of our life in Christ. Where, and he starts with another phrase, and then he says a very simple scripture. He starts with where the selective affinity dies and the sanctified abandon lives. And the verse in Mark 1:17 is, come, follow me. So you might be scratching your head and saying, what in the world do you mean by selective affinity, Oswald? That's Chambers' first name, right? And sanctified abandon, what do those mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because these are the phrases that set the tone for what Jesus was doing in calling his 12 disciples and every disciple since then, including you and me, if we are truly saved. Selective affinity is just a fancy way of saying selfish desires in my own flesh, or the desires that I have. I get to select what's most important to me, select what I think the most of, what I desire the most. Now, apart from Christ, let me ask you, how's that worked for you? I know it didn't work well for me. If you followed that path very long, I can guarantee you that you are not joyous, peaceful, or contented with what your flesh and heart are selecting. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart, my heart, is deceitful above all things, and who can know it or understand it? If you want to change that, then you have to surrender to Christ and identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the express purpose of immersion in baptism into Christ. Read Romans 6. But it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. If you're supposed to have died to the old self and are striving to live for Christ, you are walking in the sanctified abandon that makes it possible for you to actually follow him. He has made you holy by what he's done. That's how God sees you. Now you work to live that out. You abandon everything else that's not of him. Sanctified abandon. Chambers makes it very clear with his opening statement here. One of the greatest barriers in coming to Jesus is the excuse that we make of our temperament, our attitude based on our desires. We allow our natural, remember that's the old man, the old flesh, our natural inclinations, our likes and our dislikes, our affinities and our prejudices, we allow those to keep us from the Lord. The first thing we realize when we come to Jesus is that he pays no attention to what we prefer. We have the idea that we can choose what to consecrate to God, that we can offer him our gifts, but we can't consecrate what isn't ours. There is only one thing we can consecrate to God, and that is what he's given us. You are perfectly free. You have free will. You're right to yourself. Wow, it's been a while since I said this, but ouch. Yeah, that's what he's really after. Well, not really after it. He just knows that you can't belong to him and receive that salvation as long as you're living according to your rights for yourself. If you are willing to give God your right to yourself, he will make a holy experiment out of you, and God's experiments always succeed, Chambers says. And I'm adding, now that's encouraging. But notice he didn't say they're always easy. The one mark of a disciple is the moral originality, the spontaneous obedience to the Spirit, which comes from abandonment to Jesus Christ. In the life of a disciple, there is an amazing wellspring of originality all the time. The Spirit of God is a deep well, unfathomable, bubbling up, always new, always fresh. If we are drawing from this inexhaustible source, our faith, right? Read John 7:38. Out of him who believes, faith will flow streams of living water. If we're drawing from that source, we know that it is God who engineers our circumstances. We don't grumble or whine about what we have to face. Go look at Philippians 2:13 through 16. We simply take whatever comes with a reckless abandonment to Jesus. Now that's faith. Chambers goes on, if you want to count yourself as Jesus' disciple, let God be as original with other people, as he is with you. In other devos, we've heard the phrase, don't play amateur providence, or don't act like a little God to others. Don't make a general rule out of your personal experience. If you abandon to Jesus when he says come, he will continually say come through you to others. You'll go out into life echoing his invitation, come, follow me. You're not asking him to follow you, although Paul said, what you've seen in me imitate, because he knew it was Christ. And hopefully that's true of us. You're echoing the invitation, come follow me. That is the result in every soul who has truly come to Jesus. Have you come to Jesus? Will you come right now? Remember, contact us at loveandlordship@gmail.com if you have questions. Closing out with our food for thought, here's one of the greatest lessons I've learned in line with this message and a calling from Christ, come follow me. When it comes to the difficult parts, and I've shared this lesson with many recently and many more over the years, if you can, by faith through his grace, remind yourself of this truth and continually come back to it no matter what, you will find yourself heeding his call to come follow me. And that lesson is this. Remember that God is sovereign over all things, in all power and control, and that no matter what you're facing, what it looks like, he is always good. Simply put, God is always sovereign and always good. Now, be willing to be consecrated to follow him. Our love and action items. Spend time with God in his word, prayer, and listening every day. Begin with the scriptures in this message. And if you want to go beyond that or differently, go to the Gospel of John, and the book of Psalms is a great place to start. Number two, as you do so, ask Holy Spirit to teach you. Number three, journal. Document those things in your life that indicate you're following something or someone other than Christ. What takes priority? What drives you? Those kind of things. Journal those things in your life that indicate that you are following him. Number four, there's your template. Remove the things that are not of him and be sure you're continuing to grow and choose the things that show that you are following him. Tomorrow, my co-host David Walls joins me as always, and he's always brings compelling info and insights on another fabulous Family Foundation Friday. Join us for another great show with David and invite family, friends, loved ones, and enemies to hear the messages, the principles. We pray, and if you don't agree, let us know, but we pray that all of them are in line with God's word. Again, you can go to our website to find more loveandlordship.com. You can read articles on the Read tab. You can listen to podcasts on the Listen tab. You can view videos on the View tab, all right? Or Watch tab, I should say. It's a Watch tab, actually, that you can view them on. And right there in the middle of the homepage is our book, The Authority of Love, Second Edition. I want to say this. I haven't said this for a while, but I got to tell you, it's straightforward, but it's not milk. It's meat. And folks, we're supposed to be growing in that and helping others do the same. That's where the Lord led me to do that. I'll ask again this week, if you're being led to maybe partner with us, please, please be praying. We can use that all the time. And that just cost you a little bit of time. Please be praying for us that the Lord is using us and we are faithful because he always is. If you'd like to give, there's a give tab near the upper right. Click on that. It takes a moment, minute or so, and you can give one time or ongoing, fully tax deductible, and greatly appreciated. And as I always say, if it's not us, keep praying until he shows you who you might partner with. And as he leads you, then be willing and obedient there. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day in the love and lordship of Christ. Stay tuned at 12:45 for my good friend Greg Horn and his episodes and messages on Hope is Here. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.